Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for being with us already this morning. We thank you for helping us to sleep safely in the night, to rest. Father, we pray that having slept and eaten and rested, that you would now enliven our spirits and our minds, that we might understand, that we might hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we would be filled, that you would satisfy us. We thank you for all these here and pray that you would touch us, Lord. Help us. Help me as I preach. Please, Father, help me to speak truthfully. And I pray that it wouldn't just be the words of a man, but they would be spoken with authority because they're your words. Please, Lord, have mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to Luke chapter 4. Continue on in our walk through the Gospel of Luke. If you remember last time, we read of Jesus at Nazareth, his hometown. Before coming to preach, as he taught in the synagogues and other places, the Bible says he was praised and glorified by all. Luke chapter 4, verse 15. Even in his hometown of Nazareth, as he taught, he was spoken well of. If you look to Luke chapter 4, verse 22, all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And then Jesus taught and reminded them that prophets are more likely to be received by strangers than those who know them very well. Those who know them best, there's a lot of baggage to overcome. I've known you for a long time. I know your parents. I know what you do for a living. You're not special to me. You're normal. Now I'm supposed to believe this message that you've received from God? Strangers, they listen to the teaching. They see the actions without thinking about the background of the prophet. Jesus says this. A prophet is not received in his hometown. That's not to say that prophets are always received in other towns, right? That's not the case. But more often, more likely. And Jesus knew this was going to be a problem for his hometown. He knew that they would see him as the carpenter's son, which is exactly what they say. Jesus, as a carpenter's son, perhaps poor, definitely not rich, right? Not with the prestigious background of a Pharisee or a scribe, comes bringing this word, and they're like, this is hard for me to... I mean, it's amazing what you're saying, but you're Joseph's son. You're nobody important. Why should we listen to you? Jesus knew that they would struggle to see with the eyes of faith. And he compared their town and their hearts, if you remember we read this, to the time of Israel's wickedness under King Ahab. He compared their town and their hearts. Israel, he says, would not receive the words of Elijah and Elisha. Under the wicked ruler or direction of Ahab, the true prophets of God were hunted down and killed. Jesus said, you're like that time when they were true prophets of God and God was with them. But instead of listening to them, you did not listen to them, but instead preferred the prophets of Baal. And so, God, there were many widows in that age and many hungry people, and God helped others, not you. They could not see with the eyes of faith. God did not work among them, but was merciful to others. If you flip over to Mark chapter 6, Similar account, verses 5 and 6. Let's do 4. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." Verse 5, "And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching." Same thing, Jesus is at his hometown. Mark says he could not do mighty works there. Their unbelief was so thick, so strong. Yes, a few sick people were healed, but not like in other places. Why? Because of their unbelief. Even Jesus, who knows everything, says, the text says, he marveled at their unbelief. Wow. Their unbelief is why I won't work here. And they wanted him to work there, right? Jesus said, "Doubtless you will say to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. What you did over there, do here too.'" Well, why didn't Jesus do it? Unbelief, the text says. He's not going to do mighty works at home because of the wickedness and the hard-heartedness of the people. And listen, they prove that what he said about them is true. He says, I'm not going to do mighty stuff here. You're like the Israelites under Ahab. You desire to kill the prophets. You don't want to hear God. And they recognize that what he's saying is about them. And the way we know is because the Bible says, Luke 4, 28 through 30, "When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away." They're angry because Jesus compares them to a wicked generation, and they respond by being exceedingly wicked. "I told you." That's what Jesus could say. "You see why I'm not doing anything here? You see how you respond? Instead of repenting and wearing sackcloth and ashes and lamenting the fact that you're evil like others before you, that's not what your response is. But your response is to kill the Savior of the world." And it's true, and you know this, often those who are wicked and unbelieving are the most irate and angry when God's mercy is extended to others. Even though they themselves will not bow, when others are, God is being merciful to others, they're so angry about it. This town of Nazareth, rightly did they say when they found out Jesus was from there, "Does anything good come from there?" They were right to say that. Listen, they desired to kill him and throw him off of a cliff. The sovereign will of God, we know, trumps the will of man. And he passes through their midst and went away. When we talked about that, I don't know how he escaped. Did he freeze time and walk away and then turn it back on? Did he disguise his appearance like he did in other places? Don't know for sure. The point is, the will of the wicked was to kill him, and they were not successful. Well, that brings us up to our section today. Luke chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 31. "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Verse 40, Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, You are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. Verse 42, And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. And there's a footnote of mine that says, or some manuscripts say Galilee. Verse 31, Jesus, having left Nazareth, his hometown, went down to Capernaum, also in Galilee. He taught in the synagogue there as well, and the people are also impressed by his teaching, for his word, quote, possessed authority. And while there, on the Sabbath, a man in the synagogue is afflicted by an evil spirit. And the spirit saw Jesus and knows who he is. Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Remember, let's go back a little bit. Not long ago, Jesus had an encounter in the wilderness for 40 days with the master of the house of demons, Satan, the great tempter and deceiver. And Jesus was tempted and afflicted in all manner of temptations, but Satan was not able to defeat the Son of God. He was not able to win. And the lesser demons, if we say Satan is the master, then the others are not the master. They're lesser. They know who he is. It seems they know of the power of Christ. Perhaps they even know of the battle that took place. Perhaps it seems like they know that Jesus has bound the strong man. He defeated him. Perhaps they know that Jesus now has authority over all the house of Satan and can command spirits to go wherever he wants, and they must obey. That comes later in Luke, but we've talked about that before. There, Jesus is casting out demons in many different places, and the Pharisees, seeking to discredit him, say, You do this by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus says, That doesn't even make sense. Why would Satan put an evil spirit in a person to afflict them, and then by me, with his power, cast them out? Doesn't even make sense. And besides, and then he goes on to say, the reason I can do it, it's kind of like your house. Or let's say there was a strong man and somebody wanted to plunder his goods. Well, he'd have to overcome the strong man first. He couldn't just come in and take it. And he says, if you see me taking what belongs to Satan, that says something, doesn't it? I went in, I bound him, and I take what I want. It's a word of authority. And it's not just idle talk, is it? We see this. The evil spirits talk to Jesus. Are you going to destroy us? Because they know he can. And listen, just a side note. Modern day people read the Bible and they speculate that these people were not actually afflicted with evil spirits, but just had some sort of illness, like schizophrenia or something like that. And that Jesus just, he knew that they believed those kind of wives' tales, and he didn't feel the need to correct them and just carried it on. Yep, I cast out that evil spirit. I don't believe that. If you read the text does not read that way. Did the schizophrenia in the man's mind talk back and forth with Jesus as an evil spirit? Did his mind know that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had authority and power? If anything, when Jesus rebukes actual sickness, he rebukes it like an evil spirit, which is interesting. There are definitely, in the scriptures, demon-possessed individuals that speak to Jesus. And he responds, and they know things that people shouldn't know. Only spiritual forces of evil that dwell in heavenly places know about this. Did Jesus really cast out a demon, or is the guy sick? I believe he cast out a demon. And the way that they're presented is different too. Soon we'll discuss Peter's mother-in-law is ill. She has a fever. It's not presented as if she has an evil spirit that's making her sick. She's sick in a different way than this man who's afflicted by an evil spirit. So Jesus rebukes the demon. He commands the demon to be quiet, to leave. When the demon had thrown, verse 35, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." When the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word?" It's not just the word that he said, "Be quiet, come out." It's that it worked. What is this word? It worked. The evil spirits believed or obeyed him. Whatever he commanded them. Why do they have to listen to his commands? The people marveled at this. And really, they're right to ask these questions. They're right to. And the answer is because Jesus has bound the strong man. He plundered what belonged to him. And that, I mean, you could read that, Mark chapter 3. But we'll get to it in Luke also. Jesus said, "No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house." Jesus has power, listen, to perform all his holy will, and Satan or his henchmen cannot resist. They cannot stop him. They can't. And obviously, after this happened, reports about him says went out in all directions. He even rebukes evil spirits and they come out. Verse 38. He arose, left the synagogue, entered Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. If you think about in the past, In this day and age, they didn't know that much about medicine. Parasites and bacteria and whatever was wrong. And I can see why, Eric, why they would think, yeah, these demon-possessed things, those aren't really that. The people were just confused and they didn't understand that. This guy's got a mental problem. And I don't doubt that there are people with mental problems that you think have an evil spirit. But in her case, she has a very high fever. And in those days, as far as we know, there's no ibuprofen or Tylenol or whatever. And you think about, as an adult, this is Peter's mother-in-law. What is a high fever for an adult? 104? But if there's an adult that has a 104 temp, you need to get medicine right away. It's no good at all. And in antiquity, those people, they would just die. Many times, fevers equal death. When they know that she has a high fever, they appeal to Jesus. It's not just a fever, right? Fevers happen every day all over. A high fever. A dangerous, possibly life-threatening fever. And Jesus, in Luke, he has authority even over sickness. If you think about, we have some medical people in our body. If you think about what is causing the fever in her in the first place, she has some sort of virus or something is going on, right? And it has worked its way through her body, and the body is responding by raising the temp. Well, let's kill it. Whatever's here, right? Let's kill it. And so Jesus rebukes the sickness, and she's healed instantly. Not like, okay, yeah, that's going to work. You'll be better in a couple days. After all this bad stuff clears out of your system, your body finishes killing it off, I've healed you, you'll win over this one. Not that. The text says she's healed immediately, and we know she is because she gets up and serves them. From what the text says, it seems she was quite ill. Very ill. She's healed and immediately is serving them. When you hear this, do you believe it? Much of the Gospels are filled with the healings of Jesus, the miraculous healings of Jesus. To say that you believe in Jesus but not the miraculous healings that are testified to, listen, that's a problem. Like, I believe he was a good philosopher and has a good way of life, but everyone knows you can't just heal an illness like this. Nay. The scriptures testify again and again that Christ has authority. Even a paralyzed man, you're well. Even a woman who's had an issue of blood for years and years and years, you're well. It is testifying to us, not the ignorance of the people at that time, the power of Jesus. He is the great physician, is he not? In fact, in the Gospels, when he heals and has compassion on the people, the scripture testifies that this is in fulfillment with the Old Testament scriptures in Isaiah. He took on their infirmities. He healed their diseases. This is part of the ministry of God. He heals the man on the Sabbath. This is interesting. They don't seem to notice that he had cast out the demon on the Sabbath. They don't seem to be bothered by it, even though later they will be. Still on the Sabbath, he leaves the synagogue, goes to Simon's house, heals Simon's mother-in-law. Then it says, when the sun was setting. Now this is interesting. So the Sabbath probably being over at that point, right? It would end at sundown that day. So evening is approaching. All the people now, they've heard reports of Jesus and his ability to heal and to do things. You know, if you think about people who had been ill in those days, especially for a long time, they would have to have a feeling of hopelessness, right? Just, not hopelessness, just despair even. This will never end. Lepers? It's not just that they have a problem on their arm that looks gross, right? It's that they can't even be with society. Go live over there. Get away. Jesus is merciful to all the sick. This tells us in verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Jesus is compassion. He has compassion for them. He heals everyone. And they're tired and sick. Jesus, we're told in other scriptures, moved with compassion. He healed them. And really, with a touch. In those days, they were worried about being unclean and touching some sort of contagious disease and wanted to stay far away. Not Christ. They are cleansed by his touch. He's not corrupted by them. It's impossible to corrupt him. And they're seeking, listen, this is important too. They're seeking healing. The family, the people brought the sick to him. Please, can you do something? Will you do something? We've heard you can and have done something. Would you heal? Would you be merciful? Listen. Is something bothering you? Are you sick? I mean, physically, yes, but more than that. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Is there some sort of scar? Some lingering thing in you? Can't quite put it away, can't quite get past it, can't quite have victory. Would you seek healing from the great physician? Would you cry out to him and say, Lord, have mercy. You healed others. Would you heal me? If you don't ask, listen, God is merciful and he helps those who don't ask sometimes. He does. There are times in the scriptures. Even we're told that Jesus saved a people who sought him not. The ones who sought him or who were hypocritical didn't get him. And the ones who weren't even looking got him. But listen, if you don't cry out for mercy, if you don't ask, if you don't come to Jesus, you can't expect that you'll be healed. If you're a person without faith, there's no point in asking. He's not going to do it anyway if you think that way. Listen, don't be like Jesus' hometown. He didn't do mighty works there because they didn't believe. And also, if you're struggling that way, recount your past. Because there are manifold ways that God has been with you and blessed you over the years and you've forgotten about it. Write it down again. Count the ways. Do like the Israelites did. Remember the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the reason why they bring this up is to embolden themselves and encourage them. God did mighty things back then. He's still with us. Sometimes your faith will waver. Some things in the scriptures indeed are hard to believe. But if you recount God's work in your life, there's no other explanations for it. God works in us in powerful ways, and we're thankful and grateful. If you're struggling now, make a list and write down the ways God has helped you through the years. Don't focus on the negative. Think about the ways God has helped you throughout the years. And I pray as you remember that you would have faith, that you'd cry out for healing and help. Verse 41, again, Luke showing Jesus' authority over evil spirits. Verse 41. Demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. And it seems the reason he rebuked them is just because it's not his time yet. He wants to go work in all these villages. He doesn't want to have large crowds pressing in on him everywhere he goes. You see that often. He'll heal someone. He'll say, "Don't tell anyone. Just go to the temple, offer up the sacrifice that you're supposed to offer. Do it quietly. Let people praise God because you've been healed." And then the text says, so he left and told everyone immediately. Like, don't do that. These evil spirits, Jesus rebukes them because it's not time. Be quiet. Get out of here. And they have no choice. They have to be quiet and leave. They have no choice. And listen, it's interesting too. We know this, right? The scripture says demons believe and shudder. They know God is real. They've seen things that we haven't seen. But they still don't love him and worship him and obey him and sing songs day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Verse 42. When it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. So we see that Jesus, he's in the synagogue. He heals the man with the evil spirit. He goes to Simon's house. He heals his mother-in-law. When evening comes, all the sick people from all around come to him. How long did that take? How many people came? 100? 500? 50? We don't know. But it says all the sick people came and he healed them all. He ministered to them, and it seems until late in the night. When it was day, so that's over. Seems like people have gone home. He slips away to a quiet place. Well, if Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We saw this earlier. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove from heaven and stayed on him. And a voice from heaven spoke to him saying, "You are my son with whom I'm well pleased." And he battled with Satan in the wilderness and was victorious. He still needs to get away. He needs to be alone. Pray. Seek God. Seek solitude. Do you seek that? Do you have any of that? I used to read the Bible often on the phone because it has a cool reading plan on it. And you can check off, you know, there's some sort of thing in me, I don't know if this is in you, I get satisfaction by checking the box that I read it. I'm like, all right, I'm making progress here, checking it off. But what inevitably happens is the phone dings with something else, and then now I'm on a different rabbit trail, and whatever time I had is now compromised by foolishness or whatever, a work email or whatever. Turn some stuff off. Seek quietness with your God. Pray. Be still and know that he is God. It will be helpful for you. If Jesus needs it, you definitely need it. Quietness. And if your family won't be quiet, you need to tell them, be quiet. Make them be quiet. That way you can get some time. Seek God. Look for him in a quiet place. Verse 43. Well, so he's there in a desolate place. 42. But the people sought him and came to him. So they went to his house, presumably the next morning, Simon's house. Where's Jesus? They looked around and found him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them, right? We would do the same thing. If we spent time with Jesus in the flesh, we would say, don't go, stay. And Jesus, you know, he said to them, I must preach the kingdom. the good news of the kingdom of God in other places. It's not just for you. You can talk about it, but I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns, for I was sent for this purpose. I must preach to other towns the good news of the kingdom of God. And if we think about, in a way, this is what we're doing in Cambodia, indirectly. Why have we poured out so much effort and interest and money to that ministry through the years? Because we want Christ to be the good news of the kingdom of God to be preached in other towns too. Yes, Americans need the gospel, but there are churches on every block all throughout the area. There are opportunities, but we see and get a glimpse of the ministry there and say, yes, do that. Go to those villages where no one has heard before. Because this is why Jesus came, that the good news of the kingdom would go everywhere. And the lost sheep of Israel would be found and saved. Well, that's the end of our text today. Jesus is the healer. He has power. Whatever ails you, go to Christ. Cry out to Him. He will help. And if He doesn't answer immediately, maybe He wants you to persevere in prayer. There are times that our children ask for things that we think would be good for them, but we don't give it to them immediately. Why? Because we're wise. Your God is infinitely wiser than human parents. Cry out to Him. Pray. If what you're seeking is not good, He'll change your mind about it. And if it is good, He'll answer according to His will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the testimony of Luke. We thank You for these things that happened and that we can read about them. We pray that You'd protect us, that we wouldn't be like Jesus' hometown, that we wouldn't be filled with unbelief. We pray, Father, that we would be believing, that we would trust You, that we would believe whatever You ordain is right. Oh Lord, help us now. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our bonds together as Christians, as the bride of Christ. Strengthen our belief in the power of Jesus. And we wait for Him, Lord. We long to be with Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.